Well, good day. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco and...
Jonathan Armstrong, temporarily in Chicago.
We are the Duane Morris Tech Law 10 twins talking to you normally across the pond, but Jonathan has deigned fit to show up here on Terra Firma in North America. Anyway, we come to you every week talking about the intersection of law and information technology. And this week's topic, I know, Jonathan, you were interested in issues relating to internal investigations and privacy implications. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, I think that's become very challenging at the moment. And one of the reasons that I'm on my short tour of three U.S. cities in 3 days, today I'm speaking to you looking out over Lake Michigan, it's a beautiful day, is the new UK bribery legislation and the challenges that that brings, particularly to multinational corporations who are listed in the US or based in the US. The reason for the issues is that ordinarily a lot of US corporations are used to having FCPA investigations, for example, or investigations for other sorts of issues in the U.S. where they've had to respond to the U.S. Regulators. Now, there have been issues in Europe with some countries, notably France, for example, objecting to what they think is the extraterritorial reach of the U.S. authorities, what they might call le fishing expedition, and the ability or the requirements of U.S. courts and U.S. regulators to get the full nine yards, to get all of the documentation and sweat it. And we've talked about these issues before, Eric, in the context of e-discovery, but in internal investigations, particularly where it's going to lead to self-reporting or could lead to self-reporting, I think the issues are very challenging, firstly because of data privacy issues and the need to balance the rights of the individual against the needs of the corporation. And secondly, because in some circumstances, the mere fact that you've exported data from Europe to be used in a U.S. investigation is prohibited. And the other issue that we get in terms of employees particularly is if they're the subject of an investigation, if the corporation thinks that it's got something that it needs to investigate and that that employee may have done wrong, ordinarily, most employees, once they're under investigation, they might instruct counsel, and that's much more common in Europe than before, or they might independently form the view that they want to slow the investigation down. And their data privacy rights are a great way of them doing that. And in some respects, it's no risk. If you're an employee who has had his hands in the till, to use a phrase we use in the UK, they know that they're guilty. They've got nothing to lose in asserting their privacy rights and blocking or slowing down the investigation. It's not as if the employer can sack them twice, is it?
And let me just jump in, Jonathan, and ask you a question. So how does an employee in that context assert his or her privacy rights?
Well, they rely on the fact that most U.S. corporations don't investigate locally, and usually that is the best way to do things, to square off European privacy law. Most U.S. corporations tend to have an investigation team that's based at HQ, so the employee will say, these guys aren't entitled to see my data, and if they are, they're not entitled to transfer it to the U.S. Most U.S. corporations rely on consent as the legal means of transferring data to the U.S., and employees in that situation will frequently just say, and you know what, for the avoidance of doubt, I remove my consent, and they're entitled to remove it in most European jurisdictions at will. So it does make the situation challenging.
Now, when dealing strictly within the U.S., I know that it's common, and we encourage employers to have employees, when they join employment, to sign business equipment and computer use policies. And in those policies, the employee is signing over to the employer that the employer essentially, you know, owns the computer systems, controls the network and the systems, and can essentially monitor and look at anything being done by the employee when at work. We do have the Electronic Communications Privacy Act here, and that does say that employers are not supposed to intercept emails, for example, in transit by using devices like sniffers. But nevertheless, I believe employers, assuming an employee consents, can look at stored emails, which, and of course, you know, if a stored email, emails get transmitted in a nanosecond, so why do you need to intercept it if you can look at the stored email? But generally speaking, I think the courts are fairly open in terms of allowing employer electronic monitoring of employees, especially when employees have signed over that to the employer.
I think that approach in most countries in Europe would be the right one to adopt, but it might not get you home and dry. Some countries in Europe say that any form like that the employee signs is invalid. And their rationale is it's back to the days of slavery, they say. The employer is the master, if you like, is telling the slave he's got to sign. So they say that's never an act of free will and is, as a result, never something that the authorities or the courts will recognize. I think for most astute employers, they need to be getting those type of forms signed pre-employment, not post, for them to be valid.
I agree. Normally, the best practice is to do so right when the employee signs up. And, you know, there's a quid pro quo. The employee is getting a job with salary and benefits, and there are legitimate reasons why an employer wants to monitor, even, you know, apart from investigations, to make sure that the intellectual property crown jewels of the company are not traveling out the electronic door by errant employees, to make sure employees are conducting themselves appropriately in terms of upholding the brand of the company or making sure they're not engaging in improper defamatory speech. There are a variety to make sure the employee is actually spending most of his or her time actually doing his or her job as opposed to spending the entire day, you know, shopping online while at work. So there are legitimate reasons, a myriad of reasons why employers do want to monitor.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is right. But I think, again, you know, the simple advice for people is that they've got to think a step ahead. It's a little like a chess game, really, particularly in Europe. You've got to prepare the ground for your big attack or your defense, either of them. You've got to allow yourself flexibility in your positioning to get better. And I think the new bribery legislation, which is all-embracing in the UK, makes that specifically more of an issue because of its concentration on due diligence and because of this, without getting too technical, this reversed burden type arrangement which exists in the UK legislation but doesn't exist in the equivalent Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in the US.
Well, good. Well, I hope you're enjoying your stay in Chicago.
Thank you.
I hope it's not too cold. You told me you had a bumpy flight in. Hopefully... Well, I'm sorry you had that sort of reception into U.S. airspace, but this has been our weekly Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod in a very rainy, very stormy, windy San Francisco, bidding you adieu and hoping to get back to you next week with our next topic. And again, feel free to contact us with any thoughts or suggestions. My email is ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. Jonathan?
I'm jparmstrong@dwaynemorris.com. You can find us both on the interweb thing at www.dwaynemorris.com. You can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter. You can even find Eric on Facebook, but not Match.com yet, Eric.
No, I am I'm married. I've been for almost 25 years. That would be a bad thing. All right, speaking of private information. All right, so we'll get back to you next week. Thank you so much for joining.
Take care, all. Bye now.
Bye-bye.